Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This is a special presentation for the Believe in Pro Wrestling podcast. Here's Rick Uccino
on the Believe Podcast Network.
Hey there, what is going on, everyone? Rick Uccino here for the Believe in Pro Wrestling podcast channel and the Believe in Pro Wrestling podcast YouTube channel. Thank you for tuning in to my conversation here with Jimmy Wang Yang, his first one after his most recent stint with WWE. Over 30 minutes worth of conversation here with us chatting about his time with WWE as a producer, why it didn't work out this time around, why he got the excuse that he has heard before, but this time around, he believes it. Also talked about the Seth Rollins fan tackle incident that happened on Monday Night Raw with Jimmy Yang front and center as they were taking the fan out of the arena there in New York. Also talked about his daughter, Jazzy Yang, and how he has just become a really big fan of hers now that she has started her pro wrestling career. A lot of great stuff in this interview, and it would not be made possible without our friends at Online. Football season may be over. Very sad ending for my Cincinnati Bengals, but basketball season is in full steam, both pro and college hoops. March Madness right around the corner. Bearcats won't be in it, but still, you can have some fun from all of the latest odds, totals, player performance props to where the next coach fired is going to land. BetOnline is your number one spot for all sports betting needs. Head on over to the website. Use your mobile devices to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE to get started. That is BLEAV, and it is not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, UFC odds. It's the best in the business, from sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games. BetOnline, your number one online wagering destination. Fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play your favorite games. BetOnline, where the game starts. Before we get rolling with Jimmy here, please do me a favor, mash the thumbs up button. Really helps drive up our audience the more that you engage with the shows here on the Believe in Pro Wrestling Podcast YouTube channel. Also, go ahead, hit that subscribe button. And oh, by the way, you still got time, guys. If you go to my my Twitter page at Rick Uccino, RickUccino, check out the pinned tweet, follow the instructions there. You have a chance to win $50. And if by some miracle, possibly even $100 to shop AEW ahead of Revolution this weekend. So please make sure to check out my Twitter page, follow the instructions on the pinned tweet, and you are good to go. And without further ado, here's my conversation with former WWE producer Jimmy Wang Yang. What is going on, everyone? Rick Uccino here for the Believe in Pro Wrestling podcast, here with a guy you know, a guy you love, a guy who should have been number 30 in the Royal Rumble this year, if you ask me. Former WWE, WCW, Cruiserweight, former WWE producer. We're going to get into all that. Jimmy Wang Yang, how are we doing, good sir?
Howdy, Richard Uccino.
Oh, God.
Richard.
All right, we may have to dive into my brief wrestling career at some point. Full disclosure, Jimmy and I have worked together in the past. He's a really good guy. And of course, when he leaves Cincinnati, all of a sudden the Bengals get good. So maybe I should thank you.
Hey, but also the Braves won the World Series, Georgia Bulldogs won the national championship, and the Bengals almost won the Super Bowl. So
yeah, so you were good luck for Atlanta when you moved down there, and Renee Paquette was good luck for Cincinnati when she moved, you know, over here. So
But if I was in Cincinnati, we would have won the Super Bowl. So
damn, you're right.
Wherever I go.
Jimmy Yang. Winners follow Jimmy Yang. But there's a lot we got to get into, man. And I, you know, obviously your daughter Jazzy is killing it on the independent scene. She had a great spot at NWA Empower, which I want to get into as well. But let's start with your most recent tenure.
Let's just dive right into it, man. Just come on. Just like
your most recent tenure with WWE as a producer. You had a tryout, made some headlines when that tenure came to an end. We'll talk about why that happened. But you hear about all the craziness of what it's like with WWE and backstage, especially on taping day. So you get this gig as a producer, you know, you're wearing the suit to work and you're probably there all dang day. Kind of take us into the life of a WWE producer, you know, especially on taping day when you guys, the script may change 800 million times and you may not even know what the heck is happening until the show might be starting. So kind of like take us through that craziness. Is it as chaotic as the rumor suggests that it is?
First, you know, it's just a horrible job. It's horrible, man. Like, it's unbelievable. You know, like, WWE paid me good amount of money to travel. They made me stay at 5-star hotels. And I got to help produce Raw and SmackDown.
Those bastards.
Man, it was like, I hope you get it and other people get it. I'm being sarcastic when I say that. Being a WWE producer is not a bad job if you can handle the pressure and the intensity of working with WWE. This last run was my fourth time. So, like, I'm kind of used to the WWE system. So it wasn't hard to me. Like, wrestling TV days, always long days. That's how the wrestling business is. It's always crazy. And it's like a lot of pressure and a lot of stuff that goes on that day. But, you know, that's what I love about WWE, like the pressure, the intensity, the craziness, everything. And that those moments that you're on that headset and there's so much going on. Like, that's the first time I really got nervous since I was wrestling. Like, it was, like, so intense. You got Vince in your ear. You got Kevin Dunn in your other ear. You got a million things going on. But that's what, you know, I actually enjoyed it. And, you know, I wish it would have lasted longer. But circumstance, you know, things didn't work out, you know. So at this time, you know, so that's kind of how I feel about that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because I was a little surprised when that ended, because you do have a great mind for the business, obviously, and there's probably a lot of young guys in the backstage who maybe got to come up and talk to you. I know Mansoor was a guy who wanted to meet you and work with you for a while. Did he get to finally meet you and chat with you up a little bit when you got there?
Yeah, you know, Mansoor and like all the talents, you know, like you know, I kind of, you know, different generations, but like, you know, a lot of those guys, you know, was watching me when they were getting into the wrestling. Yeah. And like all the talent there, you know, all open, you know, open, like they loved, you know, Mansoor was there and he came up and gave me a big hug and said, "Oh, I love Jimmy Wang." You know, and all the other talents was kind of, you know, it was like, they accepted me pretty awesome, I guess, you know.
Pretty quick. I mean, there were some guys that, you know, are still there that were when you were first coming up. I know Bobby Lashley, you know, was one of those guys that you were out on the road with when he first got started. Now he's, you know, he's crushing it, best as he's ever been. So, I mean, it had to be kind of almost like a weird sensation, I would guess, knowing that there's a lot of young guys who grew up watching you, but still there was a lot of your former colleagues that you're now, you know, back in and working with, you know. So was that kind of a weird experience, or was it just like, bam, I'm back on the road, I'm back in the E, and I'm one of the boys again?
And that's kind of what you said. The last is like, once I got back, it just felt like I didn't take a break for the last 8 or 9 years. So, oh, Jimmy's back in WWE, and that's what a lot of people's like, oh, you're back again. You know, it's like every few years you're back, you know. And you know, and it's great seeing Bobby and MVP, and like, you know, Bobby, I was his first WWE road match, you know, ever. Dolph Ziggler, you know, Kofi, Sheamus. I'm the one that basically got Sheamus's job. You know, I picked him out of the Exters in Milan, Italy, and had a dark match with him and recommended him to get hired. And now he's doing his thing. And
yeah.
And like, and Dolph, and then Bobby Roode, you know, Jeff Hardy was, you know, me and him, we go way back. And, you know, it was great. You know, it just felt like I was back, you know, back in WWE. You know?
A lot of these young guys that have come up to you, grew up watching you. Was there anybody there that kind of like really made it like a great impression on you? Like you saw something in them, or you thought, man, this guy's just got it. Any of these younger guys that you got to work with for the first time that really impressed you?
So all the talent kind of, there's a lot of the guys impressed me a lot, you know, but like, there's one thing I haven't told people, like 10 years ago, I was at WWE in Dayton and I saw Big E and I told him, say, Big E, dude, you're my favorite wrestler right now. You know, like really, you're my favorite, you know, and coming back, you know, 10 years later, 11 years later, like, and seeing him, I told him, so bro, you're still my favorite wrestler, you know, and some things that I saw with him at when he was a champion really, really impressed me. Like, I think Big E and his championship reign will go down as a true champion. And he, you know, like, he impressed me so much up there. Was listen, like, going with his gut feelings about situations, and that Big E is a real champion. But there's like so many other guys that were great, like, you know, again, the Street Profits, Chad Gable and Otis, Los Lotharios, you know, Finn, like, and somebody that really impressed me because I just seen him on TV a lot. I never really worked with him. Is Seth freaking Rollins. You know, like he that dude would impress me so much. Him on even on spontaneous thing and character, wrestling, everything. But it was not just him. You know, everybody was, you know, not everybody, but a lot of talents were really impressive.
We'll get to Seth Rollins, man. I want to go back to Big E. You know, I agree with you that he impressed me as WWE champion, not just because of what he's done in the ring, right, or on the microphone, because I think a lot of us saw that star power in him and knew if he just got the booking, he would be a great WWE champion. But for me, man, like he was a tremendous ambassador to the company. That guy was everywhere and he was a star everywhere he went, whether it was, you know, Fox game day, whether it was, heck, even just this past weekend driving the IndyCar at the Daytona 500 or whatever it was. He was on boxing intros and award shows and everything like that. And I'm just sitting here and I'm going, okay, he's killing it on the mic. He's killing it in the ring. He's a fantastic ambassador for the company. Now he's back on SmackDown in the New Day away from the title. Like, what happened?
Yeah, but that's the thing. Even what you just talking about that stuff, all this stuff you just talked about, all the stuff that's in front of the camera and in front of the people and all those events, like what impressed me most about Big E was what he did behind the curtain, backstage, and how he treated people and how he's when the cameras, you know, like, in situations and the respect that he has and like that's, you know, that's what makes him, or in my opinion, a real champion. It's not the stuff that you saw, like everybody else sees, all the NASCAR and the boxing and everything like that. When you sit down with this dude and see how he treats the catering worker or the janitor or,
yeah,
you know, everybody, you know, like he has true character. He has great instincts and has a great heart. And I think he'll go down as a real champion in history.
Yes. And hopefully, you know, he gets another run on top because I think he does deserve it. And I've had the pleasure, absolute pleasure of interviewing a couple of times in person. And yeah, he just does come off as this genuinely
genuine,
lovable human being. I mean, I got to talk to him right after he won the Money in the Bank briefcase, and he's like, "Here, hold the briefcase, and you know, take a picture." he's just a really, really good dude, and I was glad to see him get that moment, and hopefully, he gets that moment back again one day. Because again, I'd love to know how he nails everything, and then now he's you know, kind of back with the New Day, and I just don't know what happened there, to be completely honest with you, but maybe. Never say never, right? It's WWE. Maybe he'll get back there one day. You brought up Seth freaking Rollins. I brought up Chaos. Got to talk about what happened that night when Seth Rollins is walking back and you get this crazy ass fan who just comes sprinting around the corner, somehow past security up full speed, and gives him the Goldberg shoulder tackle down to the ground. And then all of a sudden, you know, within seconds, man, you're seeing security running out. You're seeing all the suits running out, and they're dogpiling on this guy and they're pulling him out. Then all of a sudden I see on the screen, there's Jimmy Yang yeah. right there at the tail end, just kind of controlling everything, like pushing the crowd along. What was that night like, man? That was just pure insanity.
Yeah, it was crazy. And really, like, that's my wrestling instincts. Like, I was the next match. I was the producer for the next match. And, you know, we're watching Seth's match and all that stuff. And so I'm about to be up on the headset. So I'm sitting there, and Billy Kidman is in Briscoe's spot in the gorilla position. So basically, he sees it all. He sees everything. He has all the monitors and sees everything. And all I heard was Seth got attacked. And I see Billy take off, and just wrestler instinct is like, okay, let's go take, you know, we got each other's back. And somebody, I heard Seth got attacked, pum, Billy goes, pum, I go, you know, and we just go in there to just make sure Seth's okay.
So
my mindset running out there, luckily Billy and Adam Pearce got there before me, because it would have been, I would have spider monkeyed that dude. Whatever.
Yeah. So you got there just like a little late. You're just kind of standing there like I could tell you wanted a piece, but like, man, you're like, you just got there a little too late, which might have been good news for that guy.
No, but then they were bringing them a straight shot to me. And I, you know, really, I things go in your mind so fast in that situation. I had the idea just to go straight down the middle and that dude, but like, now you think cameras and, you know, all this stuff. I know probably the internet would have loved me if I knocked that dude out. It was kind of a clean shot, like his hands behind his back. But like,
I think I texted you the next morning, like, dude, you had a clean shot.
I'm telling you, and that went through my mind, and like that quick second, it's like, do I drop this dude? And it was like, and then
I get it. Hey there, guys. Thank you so much again for tuning in to my conversation with Jimmy Wang Yang. Hope you've enjoyed it so far. We got a whole lot more to get into with Jimmy here, but I got to pause for a second here, because this interview would not be possible without our friends at NordVPN. What is more important than peace of mind, I ask you? That is absolutely nothing. And that is what NordVPN is here for, to give you peace of mind while you are online. And with all of the threats that you face on the internet today, it is more important than ever to be sure that you have the best VPN that you can get. NordVPN is the world's best VPN service, offering the fastest connectivity, most servers, and next-gen encryption to make sure that everything you do online stays secure. Plus, you can use NordVPN on all your computers and devices, no matter the operating system. With NordVPN's unlimited bandwidth, you never have to worry about a slow connection either, and plans start at under $4 a month. So grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/believe or use the code BLEAV to get up to 70% off your NordVPN plan, plus one additional month free. It's also risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, if you guys are liking the conversation so far, mash that thumbs up button. It is very, very important. The more you guys engage, the bigger our audience grows, because we're going to have more great exclusive content just like this here on the Believe in Pro Wrestling Podcast YouTube channel and the Believe in Pro Wrestling Podcast channel. Now enjoy the rest of my conversation with Jimmy Wang Yang.
That's a scary moment, like, because if he had a knife, if he had something, some kind of weapon, you know, going that fast. And, you know, that's such a crazy situation. And luckily, nobody got seriously hurt, you know. But yeah, the funny part, when he's pulling this dude out, like, we all have him pulling him, taking him out, right? And all of a sudden, like, we're dragging him across the floor, and his, like, pants just go down to his ankle, butt, ass hanging out, everything. I was like, we got really intense, and then it's like, oh, shit, this dude's ass and balls are hanging out. It's like, and it kind of, it's just a funny take in there.
Gosh, jeez. And to Seth Rollins' credit, not to just completely bypass that, but to Seth's credit, I thought he handled it about as well as he could. You know, he corrals a dude, waits for security to get there, and then boom, he's back up and he's back in character. And he's got the camera in his face. And then after, he's got to come back out later on in the evening, and he's doing the whole looking around, making sure. Again, it just says, you know, to the kind of professional that Seth Rollins is, just how well he handled that situation. How well would you have handled that situation? Like, has anything ever like that ever happened to you?
Not me, but like, luckily I've been a baby face in this situation, but this happened a few times. Like with the hurricane, we had somebody charge ring, but like, I'm at the curtain, I'm about to do my entrance, but he's out there getting heat, and all of a sudden somebody charges him, but he, like, I almost jumped through the curtain to, you know, to say, but it's trying to stay professional and like, oh, this is a good guy, bad guy, whatever. I can't go out helping this guy I've been having an angle with for the last two. But if situation gets bad, I don't care. You know, just like something, I don't care. Like, instincts to go help my boy, you know, like help one of the boys, you know, if something like that happens. But like, but it's such a crazy situation, but it never wins for the fans. So, you know, because they go under the ropes, and it's like a free punt kick, like, you know, so, but fans have charged ring a few times on when I've been involved with the match, but luckily I was never the heel. But, and then in Japan and stuff, like, they didn't have, you'd walk through the crowd and people would be grabbing you and stuff. And if you watch old school tapes, like with Abdullah and Stan Hansen, they'd bring a weapon out there to scare the people off, where they wouldn't come at them. So it's like, some situations over there.
But. Yeah. I mean, Dutch Mantel loves to tell the story about when he was in Puerto Rico and somebody pulled a knife on him, man. Like, it's just,
yeah,
people are nuts. People
They didn't have barricades in Puerto Rico and stuff, you know, so people just can run up on you. And that's programmed in my mind to protect the boys if something like that happens because of those situations. Like, if one of us, you know, something happens, we're all there to protect one of the boys or one of us, you know, so like, because of those situations. And that's why it was so natural instinct when Seth got attacked, boom, boom, you know, next thing I was like, oh shit, there's, I'm going to be on camera. And, you know, like, everybody's like, oh, Jimmy Wang Yang. I said, no, I've, you know, totally forgot about wrestling and just, boom, you know, so.
I was going to say, I definitely had my Leonardo DiCaprio moment where I'm like, there he is.
Yeah.
There is. I see him. I got him. So you said you were in Gorilla getting ready to put on the headset. So like, what, I know you don't like to divulge too much of the backstage stuff, but like, what's the role of a producer as a match is going on?
So as the match is going on, is our job is to cue the production truck to with camera angles and entrances and finishes and aftermath. So it's like a lot, like because we talk to the wrestlers all day, you know, about their match, and we know what's the plan is. And, but the producers and the directors kind of know what the plan is, but they don't know the whole plan. So it's our job is to, you know, talk to the director and the producer and make sure they know camera shots, angles, times, aftermath, and everything that goes on during that segment, you know, so just refreshing their memory or telling them what's going on, and also refreshing their memory about what the match is. You know,
so. You talk about helping put the matches together. Got to talk to Drew McIntyre, and he gave you total credit for the match that he had with Ricochet with the moonsault Claymore kick spot. I think you should have got the job permanently just based off of that, because that was damn genius. And I should have texted you in the moment, right? Because the second I saw that, I'm like, I bet Jimmy produces damn match. And then sure as hell, Sean Rossat the next day put out the producers for that list. Yeah. And I was like, I knew it. I knew that was a Jimmy spot. So I had to ask Drew about that as well. But, you know, say you enjoyed the job. Seemed like you were pretty good at it. You have a great wrestling mind. They didn't keep you around. Did they? WWE doesn't always give reasons for things. Did they give you a reason as why this spot didn't work out on a permanent basis?
So to me, you know, life is all about timing. Wrestling's all about timing, you know, so like everything, you know, it's all about timing.
Yeah.
So they did give me the budget reason this time, but this is actually the first time I actually believe that reason, you know. My time there for the last, you know, this last run, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, you know, the live WWE live event business was not good, you know, like that. And I'm a bit, you know, I've been a business owner for the last decade, you know, so I understand business, you know, they have to spend a lot of money, you know, to produce Raw and Smack a lot, you know, a lot of money, you know, and but it doesn't equal out, you know, like you know, they rent Madison Square Garden and you know only 3,000 to 4,000 people show up, you know, like this, it wasn't the live event business was not making money for WWE, you know, and the expenses, you know, there's so many, you know. WWE makes a lot of money, but they also have a lot of bills and a lot of expenses, you know, so like, and, you know, it's not just with me, you know, not just signing me to be a producer, you know, they're really budgeting their budget, you know, they, you know, the, everybody knows about the talent they released on the main card, whatever, the main roster. And then, right. You know, they cut ins of NXT, you know, office, you know, they're moving their office and they're cutting office staff. They're cutting, you know, like they're really, you know, budgeting their budget, you know, and to me, when I saw, you know, that's how I didn't take it too hard. I've been a business owner looking and say, like, yeah, you know, how in the world, you know, like they, I don't even know how they produce all this stuff because, you know, 3,000 to 4,000 people attendance in a 20,000-seat arena. That's not, they're not making money. There's no way they're making.
Right. And, you know, you're talking about, it's not just your pay either. Like you're on the road, you're traveling with you. They're putting you up in like these expensive hotels and stuff.
Five
like
star, the nicest hotels. I'm like, I tell you, it's ridiculous. I'm like, eh. I'm fine with a Red Roof Inn. Yeah, seriously, you know, like I don't need, you know, whatever. But that's just my expense. You know, they got so many employees. They get, I want you to do your research as a wrestling journalist. How much does it cost to run a Raw and a SmackDown in a week? You know, so like the expenses with the travel and the catering. You know, there's so much, you know, so much. But the live events wasn't bringing in, I guess, house money or, you know, sure. Live, you know. And when they released me, because they didn't release me. They just, whatever.
not to continue with this partnership. So,
yeah.
But if they decided to call you back and say, hey, we want to offer you a producer job, is that something that you would jump on? Or if another company decided, hey, yeah, I'll try to get you a job out of this interview. But another company said, hey, you want to be a producer for us? Is that something you would jump on?
I have one condition on a lot of things, you know, it's like, but wrestling is like, I love wrestling, but like really my involvement now is just because of my daughter, Jazzy Yang. So it's like, okay, whatever situation comes out, you know, the first question I'm going to ask is say, hey, can my daughter come with me? You know, so right. It's, you know, but it's,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, I never say no to anything, you know, like it's never say never, whatever they call it, probably, you know, offer me a lot of money again. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go do it.
I mean, you can't. I mean, if the money's good, you can't turn it down. I wouldn't turn it down either. But
I get paid just to do wrestling. Is, you know, that's, and this thing, wrestling to me, and that's what I, you know, there was narrative that I quit because it was too hard or anything like that. So wrestling is not hard. You know, like running a party bus company during a pandemic, that's kind of hard. Like, nobody can't do anything, whatever. It was, and then I know you know this, or you don't know this, but like, you know, the business no amount. So during that pandemic, when my party bus business crashed, I went and worked at AK Steel in Middletown, Ohio, steel mill that has lava everywhere. I had to hit my clock at 5:15 every morning to go to this insane steel mill and basically break my back for 10 hours and come home. I can barely walk. So that's hard work. Wrestling's not hard work. So, you know, like, you know, that's,
dude, I, when I lost the first time I got laid off in radio, which is my full-time gig, you know, I didn't want to go on government assistance, and I ended up getting a job just to keep working at a granite installation company. I do not take a day as a podcaster, as a wrestling journalist, as a radio broadcaster. I do not take a single day for granted. I was there for a damn week before I got offered the job at 700 WLW. And I'm like, oh, thank God I can get out of here. Yeah. I never quit a job so fast in my entire life. I ain't you. I'll quit stuff. Like, but I ain't gonna quit that bad. And like, look, man, talk about wrestling being a, you got me to do a match. There is nothing that you can't accomplish.
Yeah, that's true.
You brought my 250-pound, at the time anyway, 250-pound radio producer ass into a wrestling ring out of the kindness of your heart, because you called me up and said, hey, you don't know shit about wrestling. I want to teach you about wrestling. And you brought me in there, and for what I thought was going to be like a 1 or 2 week thing, you trained me for an entire year plus. Why did you do that? I've always wanted to ask you why. You called me up out of the blue. So I'm teaching business.
Yeah. So that's a, you know, like, you know, I know a lot of guys like you, you know, like everybody has, you know, their opinion about wrestling, and there's a lot of people that think they're wrestling experts, you know, just because they watched it for 10 years, 15 years, and they watch it. Like, I'm at, you know, I'm trying to, you know, I know, you know, I get it. People want to talk about it, all that kind of stuff, but like the expertise of writing about matches and telling this matches, really, it's as many times as I watched the TV show Doctor and stuff. I'm not an expert at being a doctor just because I watch, you know, so like, and then I liked you. So like, listening to your reviews about wrestling stuff, I'm like, man, this dude sounds like such a mark. You know, so I'm like, oh man, I got to try to help this guy, you know, like, cause I know your history. I know you watched it forever and you love wrestling, but like, until you take a bump or have a match, like, your opinion really
don't mean shit.
You know, like, and then like, and that's why I wanted you to be more legit and like, and actually learn this business. I gave you opportunity, but you're the one that did it. You know, like, you jumped on it and you trained for a year and you actually have a match. And that makes, to me, in my eyes, makes you a lot more qualified than, what's a 5-star guy, whatever.
Oh, Meltzer.
Meltzer and Johnson and, you know, Sean Rossap, you know, he did have one match, you know, and like.
Sean has my seal of approval. I think he's the best going today, and he's the guy breaking all the news, and he has been in matches before. He, much like myself now, has dealt with back problems, which is why I'm not still in the ring. I definitely had plans, by the way. Never had plans of getting into like the indie scene or anything like that until I started training with you. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm in pretty good shape now. I think I can do this. Then all of a sudden, one day I woke up and my back was like, you are 33 years old. Yeah. You started doing this. We ain't having none of that anymore, which sucks. Cause you know, I really do miss it. And I love taking, but you asked me before we got on the air, when's the last time you took a bump? And I'm like, it's been a while, and that's a good thing because I still wake up every morning and my spinal arthritis is like, you're barely going to be able to read a newscast today. I'll take a pump and a ring, but my one match is still up on your YouTube channel.
Yeah, it was great. It was a good match. I think it was great. You know, like, if and this thing, like, and I know people talk to you about it, you know, like they would say, oh, you know, that didn't look as good and whatever. Taryn, I'm talking about Taryn. Yeah, Taryn, like, say you had the same opportunity to get your ass up there and get in a ring and actually learn this business. And he pushed out, you know, like, that's what separates people. Like, you did it. You actually did it. You know, I know kind of how hard it is. Yeah. Like, but the training I did for you guys was not as hard as a power plant or the All Japan Dojo, and how much stuff sacrifices and how my body feels after 23 years of wrestling compared to, you know, 2 years. And you got guys like, oh, you know, those guys suck and whatever. That's 3 stars to 2 stars. And like, you don't know how hard it is to do this. You know, like,
right.
So
yeah, man. And you know, I did have the, now I, you know, you kind of have given me the unique opportunity of seeing people that I've locked up with, that I've trained with on national television, which is really freaking cool. And yes, one of them is your daughter, Jazzy Yang. And now, you know, you've been out on the road. You had that like 6-7 week thing with WWE, but you moved down to Atlanta to get her wrestling career started. You guys have been out on the road. You've been tagging with her. As a dad, man, what's that like? You're tagging, you're out on the indie scene, you're watching your daughter, you know, live out her dream because you inspired her to do that. I mean, what is that like for you?
Yeah, it's really awesome just having, you know, the matches with Jazz, you know, like that's my baby girl and being in the ring. And but also it's not just, it is being there with her, but what the amazing part is that she's so damn good. Like that's like, oh, like I'm sitting there on the outside or wherever, and I start becoming a fan and watching. I was like, holy shit. Like there's stuff, you know, easy training, the stuff that I could teach a radio announcer. But actually, just kidding. But like other stuff, that's a very important stuff that, you know, I did teach you some of the stuff, but like, in front of a live audience, the red light's on. Okay. It's go time. And, you know, she's not missing a beat and she's hanging in there with anybody that we've been in a ring with. Yeah. So
I remember because either you or she on Twitter posted a video, right, of a sequence where she's getting her kicks in and then she does the jump and snaps the calf back and that little snap kick to the back of the head. I was there the day that you first showed her how to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to embarrass her. Right. But like, it was funny for the first couple of times that she did it. But just a few months later, to see her do it now, and it's so pristine, man. I can tell she's putting in the work.
Yeah.
And she's putting in the work. It's fantastic to watch. It really, really is.
I'm telling you, there's down here, I was like, okay, like this is, you know, this is what I did when I was a professional, like full-time professional wrestler. If this is what you want to be, this is what you got to do. Like we're at the gym every day, you know, like and studying tape, and I'm making her read her history on wrestling and all this stuff. Like she's, you know, she's going to be pretty special in this business. In my opinion, I believe that she is going to be special. She is special now, and she's going to be unbelievable in the future.
I can't wait to say I knew her when, but like you know, she had that opportunity at NWA.
Yeah.
And she made a huge impression. On that MWA Empower pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Comes out in the show enough gear. And then
who's the yay?
Then she gets the ankle pick and she starts ripping at the ankle with her teeth. That was your idea, right? Like
I think it was it was her idea. Like, you know,
really?
You know, like the character development and character studying, you know, like I've watched that movie a million times, you know, so but she, you know, she likes it. And it's her favorite movie too. We watch it and she's watching it, and like, and she's seen Show Enough do it in the movie theater. It's like, oh, that'd be a great heel spot. You know, I was like,
and it was, dude, I'm sitting in this exact chair watching that moment happen. And when she did that, I jumped out of my chair. I was so damn excited to watch that happen. And mostly it's like, cause like you meet her in person and she's kind of like a lot like you. She's very quiet, you know, very reserved, very respectful young lady. And then all of a sudden she gets out, the red light's on, and it's like, time to go to work, man. Yeah. And it's so night and day. And it's so great to see, just as, you know, somebody who trained with her, and then, you know, you're her dad, but you're also her trainer, right? So you're seeing, you have two different sides of this. You see your daughter now out in the Indies on NWA. Another young lady that you helped train, Ari Alexander, is now getting shots at AEW. You know, she's been on Dark Elevation the last couple of weeks. What's that like for you as a trainer now to see your students up and coming and getting these shots on national television?
Yeah, I love it. You know, it's great. It's a great, like, that's, you know, that's a great job being trainer, producer, you know, coach, and, like, you know, like, my new highs is seeing them. You know, I've had my highs, you know, like, it's just, but seeing, like, I'm like that. I know I'm the dad living through my kids, you know, but sure, it's like, is also with Ari, and also with, you know, everybody that I've trained, I'm watching them, and, you know, when they do good, you know, it makes me happy, and it, you know, and that's my new enjoyment is seeing, it's like giving back. I'm trying to think if this makes sense, like giving back to the business, you know, like in passing it on to them, and then seeing them do it. And, it, you know, it brings me great joy seeing the people I helped or trained or anything doing well. You know, so.
I'm sorry I couldn't get to that level for you. I just, you know,
but the thing is, the success is at different levels. You know, it's like, to me, I was like, let me see if I can get Richard Uchino through a whole match. And that was my, you know, I have goals with different students or different, you know, and like, okay, this person. So I know you're not trying to be a full-time professional wrestler, but can we get one match out of you? One really good match. And Dirty Dutch Mantel's like, yeah, that was a great match.
I know. So I was like, I could not believe it. I could not believe when he gave his seal approval for that. That was just absolutely insane. And that just goes to show you what a great teacher you are. And you see what you really are. If you ever get a chance to train with this man, or at least get any kind of advice from this man, please take it. Trust me on this. He got me through a match. You can watch it on his YouTube channel. All right.
I heard NXT needs a trainer now. So, like,
who knows? There you go. Hey, maybe if they sign Jazz,
Performance Center. Yeah, trainer and performance center. I guess that's what they call it.
So what is next now for you and Jazz? Because I know you guys are doing, like, your tours, and I think you're both going to be in Dallas, WrestleMania weekend.
So we got a few things coming up, like the March 11th, 12th, we'll be in Chillicothe, Ohio.
About an hour and a half drive for me.
Yeah, so we got signing there for Big Time Wrestling. Then we'll be at WrestleCon with the Hybrid School of Wrestling. And we'll be there all weekend. I'm doing a special photo op with the Three Count, Reject, Prince of Punk, Shannon Moore, and the Young Dragon, Akio, Jimmy Yang, the Redneck and Reject Connection, the Three Count, Young Dragon. So we're doing me and Shannon's going to be in the same spot, you know, so we're going to do a special combo photo. Jazzy will be there. We'll be wrestling and got some other surprises coming up, but you have to wait for those surprises.
And WrestleCon's going to be in Dallas. I'm going to be in Dallas that weekend, so hopefully we can get together, grab a beer, catch up. Always great to talk with you, Jimmy. Appreciate your generous time here. There's a ton more I could get into, but I gotta go pick up my kids. So I got my proud dad moments. I gotta go be a dad now. But I appreciate your time, man. And we'll talk again soon. Good, sir.
All right. Good seeing you, Richard Uchino.
maybe cut a heel promo and everything. I'm too likable to be a heel, kind of like Becky Lynch. Anywho, that's another discussion for the day. Appreciate you guys. You have been watching this interview with Jimmy Wang Yang, the great Jimmy Wang Yang, the 2023 Royal Rumble winner. Jimmy, it's got to happen, please. It's got to happen one day. Right here on the Believe in Pro Wrestling podcast, brought to you by Bet Online.
I'm your boy, Jimmy Wang Yang. Yeehaw!
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventure's pulse with every step,
and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.